John chapter 1 tonight. I'm going to give you about a 20-minute introduction. I'm going to give you the title of the message then and kind of build out the title a little bit, and then we'll close it down. But looking forward to the message. Love this particular truth. And this is something the Lord kind of just showed me one day when I was studying out the life of Peter. And so I want to give you this message tonight. John chapter 1, look at verse 35. Again, the next day after, John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, "What seek ye?" They said unto him, "Rabbi," which is to say, being interpreted, "Master, where dwellest thou?" He saith unto them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. Verse 40, one of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, "We have found the Messiah," which is being interpreted, "the Christ." And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, "Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas," which is by interpretation, "a stone." The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip and saith unto him, "Follow me." Now, not going to give you the title. You're not going to know the direction that I'm heading in the message until the very end. So you're kind of flying by the seat of your pants or something right now. So just hang on, listen carefully, and you'll understand it at the end, okay? I promise you that. Let's pray. Lord, we come to you this evening. Lord, I pray that you would help us tonight. Lord, we're going to close out Missions Emphasis Month tonight. What a blessing it is. Lord, I'm thankful for the opportunity to be here tonight. What a blessing this place is. Lord, I love this church. I love the preacher here. I love the people here, and what a blessing it is to have the opportunity to preach here again. And Lord, I don't take it for granted. Lord, I want to be a help tonight. I want to be an encouragement to these folks. And Lord, I pray that you would burden our heart about this matter of missions tonight. Missions to me is just simply looking for anybody and everybody that we can and sharing the gospel with them. To me, that's missions. And it's having a heart for missions. It's having a heart for other people. And God, I pray that you would help us tonight in this matter. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. I'm a water drinker. I've got my water. You didn't say amen. I was at camp. Did I tell you that story? I probably told the kids out in chapel one time. I was at camp and Gary Dice preached. And Gary Dice was a water drinker. And he would go, "Every time I take a drink, you say amen." And he'd take a drink. Amen. Amen. I mean, like we were saying, that was the most amens a preacher ever got, man, was that sermon. I mean, drank like a whole 32 ounces of water, man. And every time he took a drink, we had to say amen. But anyway, not going to do that tonight. But here in this passage in John chapter 1, we read of the conversion of the Apostle Peter. Most everyone knows, or at least is familiar with, Simon Peter. He's a very well-known, even by heathen people. They know Peter, all right? Unsaved people have heard of Peter. And Simon Peter, just some introduction about him. Simon Peter is directly mentioned in 156 verses, different verses in the Word of God. 156 different verses named directly Peter. Now, because I am a disciple of Pastor Jerry Ross, all right, I went through all 100, you would be proud of me, I went through all 156 verses of Peter, and I studied them out. And I'll get into that here in just a little bit, but I want to kind of give you a brief history of Peter's life, if you'll let me this evening. Much of this you'll know, some of this will be a reminder, but I think it'll be important for us tonight, all right? By the way, in case you're wondering, this does apply to the message, so listen carefully and don't miss any of this, all right? Pay attention on purpose, all right? Peter was a fisherman. Peter was a fisherman alongside his father, whose name was Jonas. Peter was saved by grace. He was baptized by immersion. He was then called to be an apostle and a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, not only was Peter a disciple, he was one of the inner three disciples, Peter, James, and John. Peter is well known for his zeal and willingness to jump right in and do a work for God. By the way, I'm going to stay pretty much confined here to my notes until the very end, all right? So just bear with me a little bit, all right? It's just a lot of history. Peter was a zealous Christian, sometimes to a fault. He was impetuous. He was headstrong. He was intense. He was a man, if you were a coach of a team, you would want to pick Peter for your team, understanding that at times you would probably have to rein him in a little bit, all right? That was Peter, all right? You would want him on your team, but he was a little bit on the out wild side, all right? Peter occasionally walked the borderline of becoming proud and arrogant. It was Peter, and only Peter, by the way, who stepped out of a boat and walked himself on water with the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only one that ever did that. That was Peter. Throughout the Gospels, we see Peter constantly asking Jesus to teach him more and to help him to understand more and more about the Lord Jesus Christ and the things of God and the God of heaven. Peter was desiring to know God more. It was Peter, along with James and John, the inner three, who were on the Mount of Transfiguration when Jesus was transformed in power and glory. And Peter got to see Jesus literally talking, like you and I are sitting here tonight, with Moses and Elijah. Peter saw that. That's amazing to me. I mean, this guy got to see some amazing things, all right? In fact, it was Peter, if you remember that story, it was Peter who, the guys had kind of been silenced by the glory that they saw, and Peter's the one that obviously spoke up. You know, he's the first one to speak, and it was Peter that said, hey, we got to build some altars, man. I mean, we got to make a memorial of this place here, and that was Peter, right? He's the guy that spoke up. Remember the story when Jesus asked the question, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Remember that? Remember what Peter said? Remember what Peter said? Peter was the one who replied, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. In John chapter 6, verse 66, all of the fringe followers of Jesus Christ. By the way, it's interesting. John 6:66. All right, the fringe followers of Jesus Christ. Interesting, you'll turn over and look at that later on. It's an interesting verse. Actually, we're right there. Let's look over there real quick. John 6:66. I think that's just interesting to me. That here's what it says. Bible says this in John 6:66, and by the way, we're going to see Peter pop up here in this passage, but John 6:66, from that time, many of his disciples, people who follow Jesus, by the way, I would call these fringe followers. All right. By the way, fringe followers always do what's in John 6:66. All right. They follow for a little while, all right, and then they turn away and walk no more with him. All right. And we've had him at our church. You'll have him here. Every church that's ever done anything has always had fringe followers, all right? But these fringe followers, they leave Jesus Christ, and it's Peter that says, remember what happened? Jesus turns to his disciples, his inner 12, who did not walk away yet. He turns to them and says, guys, hey, will ye also go away? Remember that? And what does Peter say? Lord, what does he say? Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of life. That was Peter that spoke up and said that. It was Peter, along with James and John, the inner three again, that were selected by Jesus to go further with him into the Garden of Gethsemane and to pray before his crucifixion. He said, oh, Brother Joe, man, all this good stuff about Peter, I mean, all of these good things you're talking about, you're not talking about the negatives. There were some negatives with Peter. Yeah, I know. There's negatives with everybody, by the way. We're all sinners, last time I checked, but Peter had some negatives. I understand that. Yeah, Peter denied Christ. Yep, I'll give you that. He cursed and swore. Yep. He turned his back and went back to his old trade of fishing for a short period of time. You understand? I know. But listen, folks, Peter was a sinner just like you and I. All right? Peter wasn't perfect. All right? And I would contend this, after studying out all 156 verses, I would contend this, that for the flaws that we see in Peter's life, there were many more times where we see Peter stand and boldly proclaim Christ to other people. Studied out, folks, 156 different verses. You'll find that to be true. All right? But listen very carefully, folks. Peter here. And by the way, the Bible, yeah, he denied Christ. But listen, folks, the Bible says this. As soon as that cock crowed twice, listen, folks, I believe there was a repentance that overwhelmed Peter at that particular moment. By the way, listen, folks, it was just a few days later, remember, after Jesus Christ was crucified and Mary came and told the disciples, hey, listen, he's risen from the grave. Remember who the first one to the grave was? Yeah, wasn't Peter, it was John. But remember who the first one in the grave was? It was Peter, all right? Peter, I think he was a slow runner. John got there first, but John was too afraid to go in. And so Peter gets there. Have you gone in yet? No, I'm not gone in yet. And he goes in there, all right? But Peter was the first one inside the grave after Jesus Christ was crucified. That was Peter. A few days later, less than 72 hours after he had denied Christ, he's the first one in the grave, seeing the exact place where Jesus had one time laid, all right? And even a month and a half, not even a month and a half after his resurrection of Jesus Christ, it was Peter who is in the upper room in Acts chapter 1 with a group of Christians. Peter's there. And in Acts chapter 1 verse 15, we're not going to go to all these passages, but in Acts chapter 1 verse 15, we find that Peter is standing up in the midst of 120 Christians in the upper room, and he's saying to these guys, hey guys, you know what we're going to do? We're going to do exactly what Jesus told us to do. That's what we're going to do. And listen, what you see in the upper room is Peter literally take charge of that early group of Christians. And he was the guy that God used to ramp his church out into the world. By the way, I think that's what Jesus was talking about in Matthew chapter 16 when he said, upon this rock I'll build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, he was not talking about the foundation being Peter. Jesus is the foundation, but Peter was the tool that God used to advance it, all right? And so anyway, that was Peter, all right? It was also Peter, a few days after that. Remember, they had prayed, they had waited for the promise of the Father. The power of the Holy Spirit had come. That chili's getting to me. Still in there, man. Yeah, I mean, that's one of them ones that sticks with you, man. I'm like, come on, bro. I had to, the bad thing about being a pastor is tough, bro. I mean, everybody, you know, we had like 8 to 10 different chilies. You know, all of my people didn't try 8 to 10 different chilies, but who has to try every single chili? Amen. And I got to preach 4 times today, all right? So anyway, but anyway, so if I sniffle a little bit, that's why. It's that stinking chili that Ridgeway fixed, all right? You can blame him. But a few days after, remember, they're in the upper room. Peter takes charge in the upper room. A few days after that, day of Pentecost arrives. What's Peter doing on the day of Pentecost? Last time I read my Bible, he was standing up on the day of Pentecost preaching repentance to the people, and 3,000 people were saved, baptized, and added to the church because of Peter's preaching. That's a pretty good day. I wish I could have one of them days, all right? 3,000 people saved, baptized, and added to the church in one day. That's amazing to me, all right? By the way, a short while after that, Peter and John go to the temple to pray in Acts chapter 3. While they're there, a lame man comes up and asks them for money. And remember what Peter says, all right? He says this, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Remember that? And Peter was able, through the power of the Holy Spirit of God, to heal this man. And the lame man was then used his testimony. And Peter and John's preaching led, watch this, 5,000 men to the Lord on that day. 5,000 people were saved because of the preaching of Peter and John and Peter's healing of that lame man. That to me, folks, is amazing, all right? Peter was personally used by God in his bold preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ, literally to lead tens of thousands of people to the Lord Jesus Christ in his lifetime. That's a pretty amazing resume to me. I mean, that's an absolutely wonderful life to me, all right? But listen very carefully, that's not all that Peter did. Remember, I studied out 156 verses. That was a long time studying out that day, all right? That just takes a while, all right, to go through all them verses. By the way, you can't just look at the verse, man. You got to go, and you got to look at the, you know, the passage before the verse and after the verse, and you're looking at 156 different passages, most of them. I mean, that's a lot of studying, all right? But that's not all I found about Peter. It was Peter who prompted the disciples in the book of Acts, the first couple chapters there, to choose a replacement to take over Judas Iscariot's role as the disciple. That was Peter who led that discussion. It was Peter who defended the inclusion of the Gentiles into the church at the Council of Religious Leaders in Jerusalem. It was Peter who defended the Gentiles and said, guys, these are Christians just like us. It was Peter who had to flee his own country because he and his wife and his family were being persecuted because of Peter's bold preaching for Christ. He had to flee his own country. It was Peter who wrote 2 epistles that are in our King James Bible today to a group of scattered Christians, encouraging them to grow in the Lord, and communicated to them how precious the Word of God was and how they needed a daily relationship with it. That was Peter. It was Peter who eventually was led to Rome. It was Peter then, while in Rome, he was sentenced to a Mamertine prison under the rule of the avowed Christian hater and Christian killer Nero. It was Peter who, while in prison, watched his own wife led out of prison to her death. While she was being led out, Peter calls out to her by name and says, O thou, remember the Lord. That was Peter that saw that happen. It was Peter who suffered in the Mamertine prison the final 9 months of his life. The Mamertine prison, folks, if you don't know that, you ought to study it out sometime. It was an absolutely atrocious place. It actually was in, it was kind of in the ground underneath the main marketplaces where it was at. And human waste would run down into it. Animal waste would run down into it. Refuse from the streets would fall down into it. It was a nasty, horrible, repulsive place. He spent 9 months there literally in total darkness, except for every now and again they would light a candle to send food in. And that was where he lived the final 9 months of his life. It was a horrible place. But in the midst of absolutely atrocious conditions, it was Peter, watch this, this is amazing to me. It was Peter who was still able to lead his jailers, Prossus, I'm going to mess up these names, Prossus and Martinaeus, all right? He led them to the Lord and 47 other people in that jail to the Lord Jesus Christ while he was there. That's amazing to me. I mean, that's just unbelievable almost to me, all right? It was Peter then who was sentenced to death by crucifixion, just as Jesus Christ had died. But also, if you remember, it was Peter who did not count himself worthy to die as Jesus Christ died. And so he requested, and they obliged him to crucify him upside down. And so Peter was crucified upside down for preaching the gospel of Christ in AD 67. Peter, literally, Peter gave his life to Christ, and God absolutely used him in a way that literally has almost been unmatched by any other person. I mean, I don't know of very many other people who have accomplished what Peter was able to accomplish in his life for God. That's the life of Peter from 156 verses of Scripture concerning him. Now, I think, man, what a wonderful life. What a productive life. What an amazing life. What a miraculous life, in fact. I mean, what just amazing things he accomplished for God. But I'm going to tell you where I was at. I'm going to be honest. I'm going to be transparent with you, Nate. I studied all this stuff out, 156 different verses. And instead of being encouraged, I was discouraged. I'll be honest with you. I mean, I'll write it all out, get it all on my computer. I'm looking down 7 or 8 pages of notes on Peter. I'm looking down at this thing going, God, I know I should be encouraged by this. I mean, thank God for Peter, you know. I know I should be encouraged by this, but it's a little discouraging to me. I mean, I'm looking at this thing going, I don't know how you are. This is the way I think and I operate. I want to do something for God. But there's no way. I don't see it. Maybe it's a lack of faith on my part. Maybe it's me just understanding where we live and how we live, the days that we live in. But I don't know that I'll ever be able to accomplish the things that Peter accomplished. I mean, that's pretty amazing, folks. The thousands of people walking on water. I mean, there's no way I'm walking on water. This does not walk on water, folks. This goes straight to the bottom. All right, I'm not walking on water. I mean, I'm not going to accomplish the things that Peter accomplished in his life. And I mean, I know that I should be encouraged by what I saw in Peter's life. But man, I was like, I don't know about this, Lord. I mean, I was kind of discouraged. It was a bad day in the life of preacherhood. it was discouraging, man. I'm like, there's no way I can accomplish that. I'm like, Lord, but here's the thing. God had led me to study out the life of Peter. And you know, there's a reason for it. And so I said this. I said, God, you did not want me to study out the entire life of Peter and all of these 156 different verses and everything that I just learned about him to discourage me. That's not why you had me do this. So you tell me, God, why you had me do this. And that's when the Lord gave me the message that I want to give to you tonight, all right? I want you to take everything that we just heard about Peter, and I want you to kind of tuck it away, and I want you to remember it and think about it. But I want to tell you about somebody else in the Scripture, and I want this man to be a blessing and a help to you, all right? This man's name is Andrew. Andrew is Simon Peter's little-known brother. Peter was the oft-mentioned, oft-publicized brother who went to help change the world. Peter was mentioned in the Word of God 156 different times. Andrew was only mentioned in the Scripture in 12 verses. Peter, 156. Andrew, 12. That's a big disparity, folks. That's a big difference, all right? We don't know a whole lot about Andrew aside from his family ties and his occupation and who his brother was. We know that Andrew was a fisherman alongside his dad, Jonas, just like Peter was. We know that Andrew was a disciple of John because we read that in our text passage in John chapter 1. We know that Andrew was the one who brought the little boy to Jesus Christ who had the 5 loaves and 2 fishes when the people were hungry there. We know that Andrew was the one who brought a group of Greek people to Jesus who wanted to see him. But other than those 3 or 4 things from those 12 verses, that's it. That's really about all that we know about Peter except for one other thing. All we know about Peter is that he served God in seemingly, watch this, in seemingly, that's the important word, in seemingly small ways. We know about Peter that he executed his responsibilities as a humble disciple of Jesus, and Jesus never had a problem with Andrew that we know of. Andrew, all he did was stay faithful in his service to Lord Jesus Christ. Andrew fulfilled his reasonable service to God. He did what God asked him to do. Whatever Jesus told him, he went and did it. By the way, thank God for that testimony. I'm looking at that thing like it's bad. That's a good thing, all right? Thank God for that. But Andrew, listen, as far as the message goes, Andrew never did anything, let's just say, remarkable as Peter did. He never did anything like that. Anything of note, anything as public, anything in the limelight as Peter, his brother, did. Andrew was a man who walked with God and served God mostly in the shadows. Andrew, to this day, is little known by even most Christians. Maybe there's some of you in here that have been saved for a while that didn't even know the things that I told you earlier, all right? And you may have, fine, but most Christians did not, all right? There's one story, though, that I want you to see that absolutely changed that discouragement in my office that day to absolutely sublime encouragement. And I want to show this to you tonight, all right? This story is about Andrew and his brother Peter, all right? Look in your Bibles here at John chapter 1 again, and let me show you this one thing that Andrew did. By the way, many people associate Peter's salvation. Watch this. Many people associate Peter's salvation with that day by the lake or by the sea when Jesus came by and said, "Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men," right? That's not when he got saved. He actually got saved the day before. All right, watch this. John chapter 1, let's look at verse number 34. John chapter 1, verse number 34, the Bible says this, and let's read again. "And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. Again, the next day after John the Baptist stood," this is John the Baptist, all right, "John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he," John the Baptist, "saith, Behold the Lamb of God," right? Verse 36, verse number 37, "And the two disciples of John the Baptist heard him speak, and they," the two disciples of John the Baptist, "followed Jesus," right? Is that what you're seeing? Okay, watch this. Verse 38, "Then Jesus turned and saw them following and saith unto them, What seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi," which is to say, being interpreted, "Master, where dwellest thou?" And he saith unto them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. Watch verse number 40 now. "One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother." By the way, it's the same Andrew we're talking about. It's the same little-known Andrew. It's the Andrew who was serving in the and working in the shadows. It's the Andrew that lived behind the scenes. It's the Andrew who would never get any notoriety as his brother Peter did. It's Andrew who never penned a copy, a word of Scripture to us. That's the same Andrew that is following John the Baptist and then follows Jesus here, right? The same Andrew that is out in the wilderness here of Jordan watching and listening to John preach. John sees Jesus walking and coming to him and says, "Behold the Lamb of God." Andrew sees him and said, "Hey, there's the Christ. That's who we've been looking for." And they follow Jesus Christ. And by the way, Jesus then turns around and says, "Hey guys, why you follow me?" He said, "Hey Jesus," Andrew and the other disciple, John. Jesus turns to him, "Hey guys, why you follow me? Hey, we just want to go to where you're at." And he takes him to where he's living at, takes him where he's staying at that day. And they literally spend the rest of the afternoon with Jesus Christ. What an amazing thing, all right? And they get to sit and listen to Jesus in this house, preaching and teaching them and talking about the things of God to them, all right? So that's Andrew, and all that's happening here in this passage. Watch, though, verse number 40, and let's read on. "One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother." Don't miss verse 41. "He," Andrew. Andrew. Got it? "Andrew first findeth his own brother Simon, Peter, and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah," which is being interpreted, the Christ. Watch this, verse 42. Here's the text verse. "And he," Andrew, "brought him," Peter, "to," last word,
Jesus.
I like that. I like that verse. Listen very carefully. Let's read again. Look at it. Verse 42, "And he," Andrew, "brought him," Peter, "to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas," which is by interpretation a stone. And boom, you got the rest of Peter's life that goes on and lives an absolute miraculous life. But do you guys see what I see there in verse number 42? It was the little known brother Andrew who was responsible for bringing the much wider known Peter to Christ in the very beginning. It was Andrew. It was Andrew. The little known one. The one that never really is. The one that was talked about in 12 verses. Brought the one that was talked about in 156 verses to Jesus Christ the very first time. That was Andrew. Listen very carefully, folks. It was Andrew who led his brother to where Jesus was. And Andrew then watched this. And Andrew then watched Jesus absolutely transform his brother's life. He watched Jesus take this cursing, swearing fisherman off of the sea and literally transform him into one of the absolute leaders of Christianity in the history of the entire world. Transformed his life before Andrew's very eyes. It was Andrew who initiated the relationship between Peter and Jesus. It was Andrew who was the tool that God used to bring Peter to Jesus. No, Andrew never accomplished the eye-appealing, remarkable, out-in-the-limelight things that Peter accomplished. All Andrew did was bring his brother by the hand and say, "Hey, I have found Jesus Christ. Here he is." That's all he did. Don't miss this, Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Without Andrew, there is no Peter. Without Andrew, there is no Peter. Without Andrew, Peter may never have gotten saved, never have gotten baptized or called to preach, or been an apostle or disciple of Jesus Christ. Without Andrew, Peter may not walk on water. We can't say, yes, he would have. God would have came through. We don't know that. We have no guarantee that would have ever happened. For all that we know, and that's all we can go by, Peter may never have walked on water without Andrew. Without Andrew, the early church may never have changed the world by fulfilling the Great Commission, because Peter would have not been there to lead them in its inception. Without Andrew, the 3,000 people in Jerusalem for the Feast of Pentecost may never have been saved. We don't know that. Without Peter standing there preaching that day, we don't know that they would have had somebody that. We don't know that. We can't assume that. We can't say, yes, it would have happened. It would have been somebody. We don't know that for sure. All we know is Peter was there, and if Peter never got saved, we don't know that he's there, all right? Without Andrew, those 5,000 men in the synagogue in Acts chapter 3, listen, folks, besides women and children, they may never have been saved, because Peter may never have even been there to preach that day. Without Andrew, the man who'd been lame may never have been healed that day, because Peter may not have even been there to heal him that day. Without Andrew, those folks in the Mamertine prison, the 47 people plus the jailers, they may never have gotten saved, because Peter wouldn't have been in there for preaching the gospel. Listen, folks, I mean, you can assume all you want to. I'm not a guy that assumes a lot. Yeah, I take the Bible as what it says and say, hey, you know what? If he's not there, I don't know who was. If he's not there, I don't know who would have been. And maybe somebody would have stepped up, but we don't know that. We can't guarantee that. All we know is Peter was there, and he was there because of Andrew. Now, you guys want the title? Let me give you the title. Here's the message. Watch this. I may not be a Peter, but I can be an Andrew. Does that hit you like it hit me? I may not be a Peter. By the way, let me just throw it this way. I am probably never going to be a Peter, but I can ditch her being Andrew. I may never accomplish all the things that Peter accomplished. You know, I was discouraged in my office. I sat back in my nice chair. I sat back. I'm like, Lord, this is not fair, man. You had me study out this guy. There's no way that, you know, I don't see God anyway. Maybe it's a lack of faith again on my part. And if it is, God, I'm sorry. But I'll probably am never going to accomplish the things that Peter was able to accomplish in his life. And I was discouraged, but listen, folks, God said, hey, let me show you a little man over here. His name's Andrew. He's only mentioned in 12 verses, and he didn't accomplish a whole lot as far as Christians are often concerned. But all he did was bring Peter to Jesus, and Peter was used to change the world. And I'm telling you, folks, without Andrew, there is no Peter. Blessed be God. I cannot maybe be a Peter, but I can dead sure be an Andrew, and I can bring anybody that I can to where Jesus is. I love John 1:42. I've got it highlighted now in my Bible. And he, Andrew, brought him, Peter, to Jesus, to you and I, who may never be able to accomplish what Peter accomplished, who will never walk on water probably, at least like me, all right, who may never see tens of thousands of people saved and come to Christ because of your ministry, who may never have the opportunity to heal a diseased man, who may never be able to stand on the day of Pentecost, won't be able to stand on that day of Pentecost and see 3,000 people saved, baptized, added to the church, who may never preach and over 5,000 people get saved and baptized. Listen, folks, let me encourage you tonight with this. I may not be a Peter, but I can be an Andrew. All Andrew did was bring other people to Jesus Christ. You study out Andrew. I did it. He never even told anybody about the plan of salvation. He never led one of those people himself one-on-one to Jesus Christ. You know what he did? All he did was grab them. Let's just say Pastor Jerry's Jesus, right? All he did was grab Peter and bring Peter over here and say, hey, Jesus, take care of him. That's all he did. And Jesus saved him. And Jesus saved everybody that Peter or that Andrew brought to Jesus. Jesus Christ changed their. Andrew never even, for all that we know, never even witnessed to the people. All he did was grab him by the hand. That's what he did. Peter, hey, I found Jesus. Let's go see him. He can change your life. Man, that encourages me. I don't know about you. I got people in my church. They're not comfortable talking yet. I preached this message 3 or 4 months ago at my church. I said, people, listen, if you're not comfortable talking, you're in the exact same position that Peter was in or that Andrew was in. He didn't even tell Peter about Jesus and about his salvation and all this other stuff that he offers. All he did was grab him by the hand and lead him to Jesus. By the way, where's Jesus at around here? I know a little bit about Blessed Hope Baptist Church. For everything that I know about this church, Jesus Christ is all over this place. I mean, he's in every single Sunday school classroom here. He's in every single service being preached here. He's in every single song being sung here. Most of the time, he's in every single heart of the people that are in here. Listen, folks, well, Brother Gerald, I'm not comfortable right now leading somebody to Jesus Christ and going through the plan of salvation. Okay, that's fine. If that's you, you know what? You grab every single person you can by the hand and you just bring them to this place because Jesus is here. You being Andrew, you may not be a Peter. Listen, folks, we need Peters. Thank God we got a Peter here, all right? I may never be a Peter. You may never be a Peter. We need Peters, but everybody can be an Andrew. Everybody can bring somebody to Jesus Christ, all right? In John chapter 1, it was Andrew who got saved first and went and found his brother and brought him to Jesus. Jesus then saved Peter and called Peter and used Peter in a great way, but it started with Andrew caring about his brother. In John chapter 6, Jesus was looking to feed the hungry crowd of 5,000 men, not including women and children. They had come to hear Jesus preach. They had come to receive a touch of healing from Jesus. It was Andrew who brings... By the way, look over there. You're in John chapter 6, right? John 1, look at John 6. This is John 6, verse 8. Watch this. This is good. I love this. Same exact thing has happened in John chapter 1. Verse number 8, John 6, verse 8. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there's a lad here, which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? You even see a little lack of faith there, all right? But listen, you know what he did? Jesus, what are we going to do about all these people out here? They're hungry. Andrew goes, hey, there's a little boy over here. He's got 5 loaves and 2 fishes. All right, hey, come here, man. Hey, come here. Hey, I need you to come over a second. We're going to go over here, Jesus. You got 5 loaves and 2 fishes, right? Okay, come on. We're going to go over here. Hey, Jesus, this boy has 5 loaves and 2 fishes. I mean, you may be able to do something, you may not, but here he is. By the way, what did Jesus do? He took the 5 loaves and 2 fishes and fed everybody. Those were big loaves of fish, Brother Gerald. No, they were little loaves of fish that Jesus took, blessed it, break it, and gave it to everybody, and everybody ate. And by the way, there was food left over. You know why? Because Andrew. Listen, folks, he even had a little lack of faith. I've been there. Hey, Lord, I don't know. I mean, you want me to go to Bloomfield? I'm selling tires, man. I can smooth talk people into buying a set of tires, but I could, Chad. Chad knows. Me and Chad made a lot of money together. Lord, I don't. You know, you call me to preach, but Lord, I don't know if I'm right. I've not been assistant. Yeah, all I heard was this. Well, you got to be an assistant pastor for 2 years first. I mean, serious. That's what I heard. You need to be an assistant pastor for 2 or 3 years first, at least. By the way, watch this. God said, No, I'm sorry. I got something different for you, buddy. I'm going to bring you up to Jasonville, Indiana, and Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I'm going to bring you to Bloomfield, Indiana, Victory Baptist Church. I'm going to let you be a pastor and an assistant pastor at the same time for 4 years. I'm going to teach you what you need to know. All right, Lord, I'll go. And boom, now we're here, right? Amen. Listen, folks, you know, I had a little lack of faith. Lord, I don't know if you're going to be able to use me. What are they among so many, right? I mean, same thing. But listen very carefully, folks, the truth of the matter. Brother Gerald, give us some examples. Okay, hang on, wait. There was a lady and a man. I think their name was Jerry and Ruth. Is that right? Jerry and Ruth, I think their last name was Purcell. They lived across the street or down the road from a lady and a man, Robert and Donna. Robert and Donna, you know, moved in there. Jerry and Ruth, let's just call them Andrew. Let's just call them Andrew. Andrew, Jerry and Ruth, got a burden for their people, neighbors, to get them to Jesus Christ. So they keep going by week after week after week after week. Hey, Robert, Donna, we want you guys. I'm not being disrespectful. I'm building up to something, okay? I know exactly who it is, and I love the guy, okay? And I love the lady, too. Robert and Donna, we want you guys to come to church with us. Oh, I'm not ready to go to church yet. Is that how it happened? Next week. We want you guys to go to church with us. Come on. Jesus has changed us. Jesus saved us. He's absolutely transformed all. We want you to come to church with us. Come to church with us. By the way, they got some children, three crazy boys and a girl, sweet little girl. All right. Crazy was a good description, at least for Bobby. They got some kids. We want you guys to come to church with us. I'm not ready. Come to church. All right. Oh, we'll come to church. Last time I checked, it was Robert Ross who founded the great Blessed Hope Baptist Church, who, by the way, that church has been able to lead, I would say, tens of thousands of people, maybe, at least thousands of people, conservatively, thousands and thousands of people to Jesus Christ. All because of Jerry and Ruth. Folks, you have no clue. I'm telling you, I was saved, watch this, I was saved at a church camp. We wouldn't take our young people there. That's where I was saved at. I don't know if I should tell you the name of the, I probably should. They played Christian contemporary music at this church camp. And you were saved there? Yeah. Yeah, I was saved there. By the way, the guy, watch this, the guy, this is nuts. I'm looking at this thing, this is absolutely not the way that it should happen, but it happened, and I mean, it was me that it happened to. The guy that led me to the Lord, his name was Roger Mize. Roger Mize didn't even know the plan of salvation. I'm serious. Didn't even know the plan of salvation. He takes two or three little boys, you know, his invitation came, and I mean, literally, Holy Spirit absolutely just blew me up, man. Went up to the front. I need to get saved right now. My mom was at home praying that her son would get saved at camp. 12 years old, 1996. Yeah, absolutely blew me up, man. Roger Mize, didn't even know the plan of salvation, takes me outside with a few other boys. One of the, actually, I think it was the director of the camp, his name is Alan Cooper. Alan Cooper says, here's a track, read the track to him, and there's a prayer at the end. Takes me through the track. Oh, I love it. Takes me through the track. Jesus died, you know, you're a sinner. Your sin has to be paid for. Jesus died on the cross to pay your sin debt for you. If you want to receive Jesus Christ, ask me in your heart. Let's do it now. Here's the prayer. Boom. Do you want to pray? Yes. Do you want to pray? Yes. Gerald, do you want to pray and ask Jesus in your heart? Yes. That guy was an Andrew. That guy was an Andrew. That's insane to me. That guy was an Andrew. I mean, he didn't even know the plan of salvation, but he's just there. Hey, I'll take these boys out. Whatever you need me to do, I'll do it. And that guy was used to lead this guy to the Lord, who I'm not done anything really, but a lot of people have been saved in the last several years. I ran a bus route down in Kentucky, and a lot of kids got saved on that bus route. Not because of me. I'm just telling you, not because of me, because of him. All I'm saying is this, folks. I may not be a Peter. Chances are I'm not going to be a Peter. But I can be an Andrew. All Andrew did was grab his brother, take him to Jesus. Grab the little lad, take him to Jesus. And everybody that Andrew grabbed and took to Jesus, Jesus changed him, Jesus used him, Jesus did. And yet, listen, folks, here's the crazy thing. We look at Peter and we're like, oh, man, what a wonderful life he lived. Man, it's amazing. And we look at Peter like he's some second-rate Christian. I'm sorry, we look at Andrew like he's some second-rate Christian. Oh, he didn't accomplish anything. By the way, watch this. As I understand the scripture, listen, folks, you know, this whole fruit to our account thing, right? Peter preaches on the day of Pentecost and 3,000 people get saved. I'm pretty sure Andrew gets a little bit of that. 5,000 people are saved a few days later by Peter. I'm pretty sure Andrew gets a little of that over there on his account. Jerry and Ruth, I mean, I don't know how many people they ever led to the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know. I have no clue. But all I'm saying this is every single soul that's been saved at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. You with me? Folks, here's what I'm saying. Here's all I'm saying. We're Missions Emphasis Month. I thought you had a banner up here. I'm pointing. Hey, nice banner up there, Missions Emphasis Month. No. You still banner being up there or something, all right? Missions Emphasis Month. You know what missions is? Missions is people giving their life to go reach other people. That's what missions is. And all I'm saying is this. You know, we got all these missionaries that we support and everything. Yeah, that's good. But there's people this week, you may not even be comfortable talking to them. As far as, you know, hey, hello, that's about it. Why don't you just grab them and say, hey, Jesus Christ has changed my life. I want him to change your life too. Come to church with me this next Sunday. I may not be a Peter, but I can dead sure be an Andrew. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Here's my question, folks. Are you willing? Are you willing to be a Peter? No. By the way, watch this. By the way, Peters are called by God. You don't get to choose if you want to be a Peter. God chooses you. Andrews are commissioned. Peters are called. Andrews are commissioned. Every single one of us have been commissioned. Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 and 20. Go ye therefore. I may not be a Peter, but I can be an Andrew.